Welcome and Merry Christmas. My name is Ginger Gaines Sorelli. I am the senior pastor here at Foundry United Methodist Church. On behalf of all of our pastors and our staff, we welcome you warmly on this night in which we give thanks for the greatest gift of all. We're so glad that you've come to share with us, whether you're here in our sanctuary here in Washington, D.C., or whether you are joining us for worship tonight through our live stream. We're so glad that you've come to be with us, to pray with us, to sing, and to remember giving thanks for the gift of Jesus Christ. We want you to know tonight that no matter where you've come from, and no matter where you go when you leave here, no matter what you believe or doubt, no matter what you feel or don't feel tonight, and no matter whom you love, you're welcome to come just as you are, to be met by our God who knows you by name, who loves you, and who wants to have an ever closer relationship with you. In that spirit of welcome, we're so glad you're here. And we'll begin our service of celebration, preparing our hearts and minds for worship through music. Let us be in the worship of our God.
Oh, Thank you. we remain standing, friends, if you would join together in on page 815 in the red hymnal as we read responsively the Psalter for Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless God's name. Proclaim God's salvation from day to day.
Declare the Lord's glory among the nations, the Lord's marvelous works among all the peoples.
Great is the Lord, and great is His grace, to be feared above all gods.
For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Bring offering and come to the courts of the Lord.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Say among the nation, the Lord reigns.
The Lord has established the world. It shall never be moved. The Lord will judge the peoples of the heaven.
Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the fields exult and everything in it. Seated.
Esta noche encendemos la última vela de Adviento, la vela de Cristo.
A king cradled in a manger, a child whose lungs will be filled to preach good news, rings out with cries of life this night, coming to live among us.
Again, friends, we welcome everyone to Foundry United Methodist Church on this Christmas Eve. We direct your attention to the back of your worship guide. There you will see our worship times and lots of ways that you can learn about Foundry, mission opportunities, and times of engagement. If you are a first-time guest or visitor, as you leave the sanctuary today, please ask one of our ushers for a booklet, All Things Foundry. It tells you more about the life and ministry here at this wonderful, wonderful church. Please note that our office is closed tomorrow and Friday in observance of Christmas. We invite you to join us for our upcoming series. We are delighted that retired Bishop Melvert Talbert will be the guest preacher on January the 18th for Martin Luther King Jr. Sunday. Friends, again, thank you for being with us this evening. We are blessed to have some of our college students with us this evening. They will lead us in our time of telling of the ancient story of the birth of Jesus Christ.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. There was first registration and was taken while Quirinus was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and baby lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
Thank you.
questions for God tonight. How do you speak a word of hope into a world so bruised and skeptical and guarded? How do you speak a word of faith into a world so dulled to the realities of things unseen? How do you speak a word of peace into a world so entranced and bound by violence? How do you speak a word of love into a world so brokenhearted? These are my questions for God tonight. Words, it seems to me, fail in the face of so much that we experience in our lives, in the world. The violence and the tragedy and the wars that never cease and a consumptive culture eating us all alive. What word does a preacher speak that might have any chance of being heard over the din of all that? Not to mention the noise of our personal worries, our to-do lists, our football games, our work stress, our concerns about our children, about our finances, about our health, about our future. Human heads and hearts have always been full of worry and concern, of questions and confusion. And God's messengers have been trying to get a word in edgewise for a long time. Prophets, ancient and new, proclaim and plead. They write poetry, they sing, they do all sorts of crazy public acts to try to interrupt the status quo, to get someone's attention, to communicate what matters most of all, to share God's love and mercy, to call humankind back to some semblance of sanity, to show forth what is possible with God, to speak a word of peace and hope that will be received, that will get through, and that will be planted and take root and grow and bring about the life that God intends. But even with all the crazy antics of God's messengers and prophets through the ages, it was never enough. And it could never be enough. Because what the world needed then, and what the world needs now, is God. Nothing else will do. No one else will do. And God knows what we need and how we struggle and suffer and get so lost. And as much as we don't want to admit it, after all, it's downright un-American to admit it, we can't save ourselves. We can't save anyone else on our own. We need God. And because God so loves the world, God gives us what we need. Because God so loves you, Jesus was born. Jesus was born a creature of flesh and blood and bone and breath, and holded within his very human body the very heart of Almighty God. In Jesus, we see who God is, and we see how God acts. God has shown God's self to us. God is humble, not born into wealth or privilege, but rather born in a borrowed barn. God favors women and men like Mary and Joseph, the little ones of no account, calls upon common folks to be witnesses to glory, chooses to be vulnerable in order to lovingly stand in solidarity with us. In Jesus, we see and we hear and we experience beyond any doubt that God is a God of love who chooses to dwell with us in the messiness, the confusion, and brokenness of human life, so that we might share in the peace and in the purpose of God's kingdom. Why is it so difficult for this message of God's love and mercy get through? Why is it that this message of God's love and mercy is so difficult for us to believe or to be transformed by? There are many answers that we could give, among them perhaps that we just get distracted. We forget. We get lazy. We just don't understand. We get turned in on ourselves and our own issues. We become deceived. We think we know better. On it goes. But my guess is that for many people, the biggest challenge to hearing and receiving God's saving word is, quite frankly, the sorry state of so many things in our world. The things that Jesus came to save us from, violence, greed, selfishness, small-mindedness, hatred, and fear, these are the very things that people see in the world and that so often keep them from receiving the gifts that are offered to us at Christmas. So many look around at the world and say, how can these things be if God is a God of love? The late modern prophet William Sloane Coffin challenges us with these words: God comes to earth as a child so that we can finally grow up. Which means we can stop blaming God for being absent when we ourselves were not present. We can stop blaming God for the ills of the world as if we had been laboring to cure them. And we can stop making God responsible for all the thinking and doing we should be undertaking on our own. God, Coffin says, provides minimum protection and maximum support. Support to help us grow up, to stretch our minds and hearts until they are as wide as God's universe. God, he says, doesn't want us narrow-minded, priggish, and subservient, but joyful and loving, as free for one another as God's love was freely poured out for us at Christmas in that babe in a manger. Tonight, my friends, we are invited to grow up and become more responsible, more spiritually mature, more broad-minded, more joyful, loving, and freely self-giving. And if we are paying attention, we'll see that should we choose to accept that amazing invitation, we'll not be alone. We will never be alone. For God is with us. And so are other people who, like Mary, have said yes to God's presence and saving activity in their lives. If we have the eyes to see and the hearts to understand, we will look around the world and we will see not only brokenness and tragedy and pain, but we will also see extraordinary beauty and courage and faith and generosity and love. As people hear and open themselves to the tender voice of God's Holy Spirit, I stand before you as a witness that those folks begin to do crazy things. Crazy things like humble themselves in a culture that tells us that's stupid. People who do crazy things like seeking to forgive somebody or to be forgiven. Crazy things like spending hours in prayer for the sake of those who suffer when so many would say it was a waste of their time. They do crazy things like hear their pastor announce on some random Sunday that a dying parishioner is in need of a kidney and then comes up to that very same pastor that very same day and says, I will give her one of mine. I'm not making this up. When people start to open themselves to the Spirit of God's presence and saving activity. They do crazy things like taking unhoused, struggling drug addicts into their own home. They start fundraising for church missions at the bar that they spend most of their time at every day. I'm not making this stuff up. When people open themselves to receive God, they give up their Saturday mornings, to cook for the sick and the vulnerable. They give up a Friday night, to stand along a luminaria-lighted street as a witness to the truth that Black Lives Matter. They spend hours helping folks navigate the system to get ID cards and driver's licenses when most people would not bother to help them, writing them off. They give up vacation days to stand in solidarity with friends on trial. And they give up hours Sunday after Sunday to teach and care for our children in this church. And in many others. As people make room for the living Christ within their lives and hearts, you see them hanging in there with a friend or a family member who just can't seem to get it together. You'll see them sitting with and listening to the lonely and the grieving, giving of themselves in all sorts of ways. Those who are welcoming the presence of God more fully into their lives show mercy and kindness in a million little ways each and every day. In their homes, in their workplaces, with their friends. They give more of themselves and of their treasure than might be advised by fearful observers. But they do it freely and joyfully for the sake of God and God's reign of love. Sometimes I just want to hurl my questions at God and be mad about it all. I don't know if any of you are ever there with me. And we could do that tonight. We could stand here and hurl our questions at God. And we could do so and ask for a word sufficient for a world such as ours. God, what word do you have for a world like ours? And the response that we are given again and again from our God, I have spoken my word and his name is Jesus. And he is enough. Once upon a time, that word became flesh, lived and suffered and died and rose that we might share life with him in God. And that word continues to become flesh in so many wondrous ways. Just look around. Did you hear what we heard earlier? God's love in flesh. Hear the word of hope spoken through so many lives and let that word become flesh in you. God's best hope for this world is for us to hear and receive the word, to allow God's love in Jesus to be manifest in our day-to-day lives and decisions, even alongside all our worries and doubts and flaws. For us to live as people of hope, to remember that there is more to life than business as usual, more to life than what meets the eye, to rejoice that there is more love in the world than hatred, that there is more good in the world than evil, that the light shines in the darkness, and that the darkness shall not, will not ever overcome it. To give thanks that we are invited to share in God's life of love and generosity and joy. Jesus came to be this word of hope, eternally spoken, eternally present, with us, for us, for the whole world. May we have ears to hear and eyes to see share, feet to follow, and hearts that beat with the love of Jesus the Christ. By God's grace, may your life and mine be among the signs of hope that shine in the darkness. May God continue to speak through us. The world needs to hear it. May it be.
Evening will be used to continue to support the ongoing mission and ministry here at Foundry, not only in our church walls, but in our walls and beyond as a sign of hope. You are invited to give generously on this holy night.
Thank you. please join me in our Christmas Eve prayer? Let us pray. Send, O God, into the darkness of this troubled world, the light of your Son, Jesus. Let the star of your hope touch the minds of all people with the great beams of mercy and truth. Give us grace to praise your gift of love and to know the joy of the life you bring to all. Give us the eyes of a child to see all things new and the wisdom of a sage to remember the promises of old. Direct our steps that we may ever walk in the way revealed to us, as the shepherds of Bethlehem walked with joy to the manger where he dwelt, who now and forever reigns in our hearts, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Friends, we will be lighting our candles in just a moment and then singing together Silent Night. I invite you, if you have a lit candle, to hold it steady and allow the person who needs to be lit to turn and light off of your steady candle. That helps us care for our worship space. And our hair. The choir members and others will be helping to bring the light out among you. Be ready and receptive and share the light with a friend who you see needs to have their candle lit. And when we are ready, the lights will be dimmed. I'll invite you to stand as you're able once we get ourselves together, or as you feel moved. The words to Silent Night are in your worship program. And again, just be mindful of a lit flame in your worship program so that we have a silent night and don't have fire alarms going off.
Thank you.
word has been spoken, and his name is Jesus. He's the light of the world, and that light is given to you, is spoken to you, is enfleshed in you. You, friends, are the hope of the world. Go forth as people of the light, people of hope, people of love, and people who can sing with confidence, joy to the world. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.